Tattoo Traditions is a podcast dedicated to the history of tattooing and those that have made significant contributions towards it. This episode is sponsored by ButterUp, a natural, organic, vegan tattoo butter that's made in the UK. We've used it and we can't recommend it enough. This is the aftercare for you. Visit www.butterup.co and use the code TATTOOTRADITIONS, all lowercase, to receive 10% off all tattoo aftercare. If you're an artist or a shop interested in stocking this magic, send ButterUp an email for more information. The link is on their website. Follow ButterUp.co on Instagram. This episode takes us to Colchester in Essex for a conversation with Dave Roth. Dave started tattooing in the early 60s, buying his first equipment from a tattooist named Panda. He honed his skills tattooing on boats and travelling, with a brief stint working in India. His Colchester convention was infamous and included highlights like mouse racing. We talked amongst the pipe smoke about his life and career.
I did really enjoy writing those letters to you. I think because the other interviews I've done where I've been setting them up, most of them have been through social media and stuff.
Yeah.
I did enjoy writing letters and
it's
stuff.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fun not meeting people.
Yeah. Yeah, I did enjoy that. It was a nice way, I think, of us sort of communicating before we then sat down and did this, you know? Did you used to write letters to other tattooists?
No, I don't know many other tattooists because I've got very little in common with them.
Yeah.
Because I don't see tattooing as being more important than house painting, more important than painting pictures, more important than interior design or anything. I see it all as just, it's all blown out of its own importance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you didn't communicate with other tattooists but in the earlier days, Dave, you didn't connect.
What do you mean? How did I get my first tattoo? That sort of thing.
No, I just meant like, you know, because I know some tattooists used to write to each other and, you know, to sort of stay in touch or whatever. Did you ever used to do any of that?
Only the boys that have passed through my shop.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Because if you think how many tattooers started in that shop, loads of them.
Yeah, I bet.
Because I've never ever talked down to kids.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
Yeah.
I talk to children exactly the same way as I'd be talking to you, you know.
But you've always been in Essex. Are you from Essex, though?
I come from Tiptree.
Yeah.
Where I saw gypsies.
Okay.
So I was always brought up with all the travellers. My sister's married travellers.
Mm-hmm.
And I like them. They don't worry me. Mm. But my family.
Yeah.
Are from London.
Yeah.
So my mum, she was a real Londoner, London Irish.
Yeah.
And my father, he was part Jewish, part French. Some of the family came from Scotland.
Okay.
You were from that mishmash that London was.
Yeah, of course.
So you had a huge ethnic mix-up.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing up in Tiptree, who were you seeing tattoos growing up in Tiptree?
No, because when I was 14, I left school at 14 and a half, lied about my age, and went to sea on the barges, yeah?
Yeah.
And that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Because that taught me so much discipline with them men.
Yeah.
Because they were good, hard, tough men. And I had the best part of 10 years of that. And then I came out of that, did a little bit on building sites.
Yeah.
Then I went to art school.
Yeah.
When I was old to go to art school,
mm.
because you were thrown in with 17-year-olds, and I was 22.
Right.
So I was like the old man of the school.
Yeah, it's like a big age gap, isn't it, at that time?
And because you've been out and you've done a job, and the art teachers were such a drippy load of prats, that you didn't have a lot of respect for them.
Okay.
Yeah? But yeah, because they'd had such a soft life.
Mm.
And so I went right through art school.
Yeah.
And I got a job teaching at Kennington. And I did one term and I thought, no, this ain't for me.
Mm.
So I jacked it all in, went with the family, doing building, pulling buildings down, selling the materials, and ducking and diving.
Yeah.
And then I'd always done a little bit of tattooing from when I was 16.
Yeah.
I went to Yarmontees, Stockton.
Yeah.
The boat was in Stockton.
Yeah.
And I wanted a tattoo. So yeah. I used to always go and find all the old tattoo shops. Because that was a mystery then. It was good. It wasn't common. And this tattooist, he'd packed up because he was too old and his eyes were going. And they said, well, you'll never find him. Well, boat was there for 2 or 3 days. I did find him.
All right, okay.
Very interesting man called the Panda.
All right.
He was about 80 and this was in 1962.
Okay.
Yeah. And I loved it a bit. He took me in. We talked, same as you're talking with me.
Yeah.
And he said, well, he said, I doubt I'll ever use this again. He said, I'll sell it to you.
Yeah.
I said, okay. I said, what do you want for it? He said, so he spoke to his wife. I said, okay, that's a very fair price.
Yeah.
So I paid him, and then I was back in Colchester, and I had arrived everything.
Yeah.
So I gave him the money, he said, I'll get it all together. I said, yep, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And an OXO tin.
Yeah.
Yeah, this wonderful OXO tin.
Yeah.
And everything was in this OXO tin. And I got it all out, and the way you work the guns, you work them off a car battery.
Okay.
Yeah?
Wow.
Always off a car battery.
Yeah.
And I set it all up, and a couple of mates came in, and they said, what's that? I said, that's more tattooing gear. So you can't do tattoos? So I said, yeah, I can. And so I tattooed them. And that sort of healed up as great big craters in their arms.
Oh, blimey. Yeah.
And gradually I got reasonable.
Yeah.
And then I went on the big boats. And the big boats, I took the tattooing gear with me.
Oh, right.
So I ended up in India.
Yeah.
And I got friendly with an Indian tattooist who tattooed on the ships.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
You know, when a ship came in, this was in Bombay.
Okay.
And he got one of these, I had two guns. He got one of them working really well.
Yeah.
And then got the other one working well. And I said, right, well, I'll give you the one. He said, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And so we tattooed together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I moved on.
What, on the ship this is, David?
On the ship, and then on other people, you know, other ships there, like a Swedish ship had been.
Really?
And you go aboard with him and the rapport was good.
Wow.
Working on a ship, tattooing on ships was good.
Yeah.
I can remember tattooing in Amsterdam and they paid me the equivalent of 40 quid for what I did, which was a hell of about 400 quid equivalent, weren't it?
Yeah.
I thought, cool, that's handy. Yeah. But it was in Polish money.
Okay.
When I got back to the UK, trying to change it, I think I got 37 pence for it. Because there was no exchange.
I got nothing.
There was no exchange rate.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious, losing all that money. Yeah.
Can you remember his name, the guy that you were tattooing with in India?
Oh, no. I can't. I was trying to think the other day.
Was you?
Yeah, because we corresponded a little bit, because he wanted to come to the UK.
Oh,
and
cool.
I said, yeah, I'll sponsor you.
Yeah.
And then you move on to other things, yeah, because you see, going through art school afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I tend to get interested in something, shag at the death.
Yeah.
And then I finished with it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, and then you can't go back. No, you can't step backwards.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. That's why I'd never want to have anything much to do with tattooing now. Because the tattooing I do now, I can really enjoy. Because there's a lot of communication between the people. Like tomorrow, I'm tattooing the scaffold boys from up London.
Yeah.
Well, I need scaffolders.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so it's handy, isn't it?
That's handy.
Works for both of you.
Yeah. Yeah, it works. Whereas other people, you've got absolutely nothing to say to them because they've spent all their younger years playing computer games.
Yeah.
So they've got a good job now. They've got tons of money. They want to throw £100, £200 at you.
Yeah.
But fuck off, it'd be like being locked in the cells, wouldn't it? Having their company.
Spending a few hours with that person.
I don't want their company.
No.
You know, we don't need their money.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I saw an advertisement.
Hmm.
Mick Fizz
yeah.
had some tattoo stuff to sell. And I thought, yeah, all right then.
Hmm.
So we went up there, got on very well with Mick Fizz, that was in Preston.
Okay.
Yeah, he must be dead, surely.
I think Mick Fizz might still be alive, you know.
Well, he must be bloody... He's got to be in his 80s.
Yeah, I think he is, mate. I think he's still about.
Hmm. Then I bought everything out of a tattoo shop in Skegness.
Right.
And so... We had good gear, and I thought, well, I better get a tattoo shop.
Who was that from, though, Dave, in Skegness?
I can't remember. No.
It was just another guy that was retiring, similar thing to
Palmer. No, they were youngsters.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I was about 27 at the time.
Ah.
And so I needed a shop. I had one shop. I had an antique shop going.
Yeah.
And so a mate of mine... had a calf in the town. I worked above the calf.
Yeah.
And then it ended up, I was making more money than the calf was making money. So he said, Dave, I want you to leave. I said, well, that's all right. So I was walking back to the antique shop.
Yeah.
I weren't doing very well.
Mm.
But I had a good wife. And I saw a derelict building in the street. And it had Hell House painted on it. A bike gang had taken it up as a squat.
Okay.
And they were trashing it. And I phoned the council up, because I knew it was council-owned.
Yeah.
And they said, we can rent it to you, but you'll have to get those people out. Because there was more straight talking years ago.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I thought, how can I do that? So I had a look at it, and then I see this bike was going out, and I went home, and I got my dog and a hammer.
Yeah.
And I went down there, and I had no choice. I said, I'll take this place on boards, I want you out.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, that's fair enough. So I smashed the headlights in on one of the motorbikes. And I said, if you ain't out, I said, I'm coming back. I said, you're going?
Yeah.
I'm fucking going.
Yeah.
Because all my cousins and that, you know what travelling people are like, they love a tear up, don't they?
Yeah.
And I thought, no, that's better one bloke by yourself.
Yeah.
That's more, you think, well, fuck me, this guy's got to be
if
another.
If he's come down here on his own, yeah, big time.
So when I went back there, they'd nearly all gone. There was a couple of them left. So I fucking laid into them with this hammer.
Yeah.
And, I took a bit of damage.
Yeah, I bet you did.
They sort of... But then I said, fuck off, I want you out. I said, I'll be back again. When I come back, the place was empty. I was totally trashed.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I've got this fucking brilliant place for 16 quid.
Wow.
Yeah. A month.
Yeah.
And I got the boys down there.
Yeah.
We did one little room at the front.
Okay.
We had no electricity, and no water. We had nothing. Well, I'd just deal with a man next door, so he run a cable through.
Nice.
So I had electricity.
Yeah.
The water we brought in, we had no toilet or anything. And then tattooing two evenings a week, then four evenings a week. And then gradually, started a boom.
Right.
Started a boom. So I ended up, I was down there. The longest I worked was from, I finished on a Friday working on a house.
Yeah.
But started tattooing, worked right through Friday night, right through Saturday.
Yeah.
Right through Saturday night.
Blimey.
And I finished... Sunday dinner time.
Wow.
But that was such good fun.
Yeah.
Because as you finish one crowd of boys, somebody else will turn in from pubs, or
amazing.
Somebody will turn in from the nightclubs.
Just a rotation of people.
Yeah. And you didn't really annoy anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we did a little bit.
Yeah.
But the money that came in, put it all into the houses. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't waste any.
Right, okay.
But you still spent money. But the money you spent was on the customers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, send them down with, it used to be 10 quid, and I'm up to 20 quid, then you spend 50 quid on takeaways. But that's worth it.
Yeah.
Because the boys are spending their money. Even if you spend everything that they've given you, you've made a profit, because the profit is in the PR.
Yeah, and then coming back and stuff, and them telling, oh, Dave down there did that.
And we got well treated.
Yeah.
So you made sure everybody was well treated.
And that's in Colchester we're talking about.
I've always stayed there.
And where that shop is you're talking about, when are we talking? When did you first that, move in there? Is that what you
I had that shop for 40-odd years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from going to a total wreck, when we finished and sold it, it was a little palace.
Yeah, I bet.
It was so well done.
Yeah.
We went through everything, built it, repaired everything. Yeah.
So that's 80s, is it? Or is that before then? Is that
no,
late 70s?
No, before that.
Late 70s, is it?
Yeah, that must have opened. If I was 27.
Yeah.
And I'm 75. When does that put it?
You opened it when you were 27, did you? Okay. Yeah. That gives you an idea of how long ago it was. And how long had you been tattooing then? So, if you opened that in 27, how long were you tattooing before you opened that shop then?
Since I was 16.
Oh, right, blimey. So, yeah.
Yeah. There was a fellow up here the other day.
Yeah.
And all his work, I'd done it when we were 16. And
wow.
It was nearly all single needle.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at that time, you had a guy tattooing in Glasgow called Prince Valor.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of him?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, his work was absolutely brilliant. Now, he was an Indian tattooer.
Right, okay.
There was two Indian tattooers in the country. There was Prince Valor and Sinbad.
Sinbad in Middlesbrough.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I tattooed in Middlesbrough.
Oh, right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I love the north of England.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Well, I love the people.
Yeah. Where did you tattoo, when you were in Middlesbrough, where were you tattooing in Middlesbrough?
I was trying to think. I was quite near that thing called the Transporter.
Okay.
You know the Transporter?
Nah.
It's a thing across the river.
Yeah.
It's got a huge platform.
Mm.
Everything goes on the platform and the thing moves across the river. So it's like a ferry.
Okay.
Yeah, called the Transporter.
Oh, that was when you were on the boats then? That was when you tattooed
in Middlesbrough? Yeah, when I was on the boats, I'd come off for a couple of months, work with somebody, and the main thing is make yourself useful, so you're useful all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And, Middlesbrough was good.
Oh, cool. You were almost the originator of what we would call today as a guest spot, Dave.
I suppose so.
You really were, I think. Because when I've spoke to other people and I've asked about travelling about, the only travelling they do is either to go on holiday or to do a convention, like you've mentioned. But to actually be travelling on the boat and get off and spend a few months working in someone else's shop at that time, I think was quite rare, wasn't
it? Well, because you're a novelty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if you don't earn bugger all, you've still had the experience, haven't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah.
What other places did you work in at that time and when you were working on the boats? If you were in India for a bit and then in England, you tattooed in Middlesbrough.
Yeah, done a bit in Middlesbrough.
Hmm.
We used to go up and tattoo, because all my best customers were in the army.
Right, yeah, right? Of course, yeah.
So when I tattooed in Berlin, I went over to tattoo in the quarters.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
You take your room, you take all your equipment over. One day we were going to go over and tattoo in Berlin. And at that time there was a lot of terrorist activity. This must have been in the 80s. Yeah, late 80s, early 90s. And the girl I had with me, because we were going through, she said, oh, which bag has got the guns in? I thought, that's fucking great. Next thing you know, there's all security around us. Yeah? And so we opened the bags, explained what was what.
Yeah.
But it was good that we did open it because there was a cylinder of ethyl chloride. Yeah?
Yeah.
Which would have blown up had to be exploded in the depressurised areas, yeah?
Oh, wow.
Good job we found that.
good job she said that, really, mate.
Fucking stupidest girl in the world. Yeah. Clever thing to say.
So then you're in Colchester and it's going well in Colchester, but you're working on your own. You're still working on your own in Colchester, in that shop that's done up.
For a long time. Yeah. Yeah. And then it just got, you just had to be in the shop all the time.
Mm. You had to be. It was so busy.
Yeah, because we were open 7 days a week until 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
But I had some other tattooers. I had Big Louie, who was a big 24 stone Hell's Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good bloke.
But that was fun having him in there.
Well, at that time, the bike gangs, I never really liked them.
Yeah.
Because they took a pride in being nasty.
Mm.
Yeah. Unlike any gangs, they're just big cowardly bullies, aren't they?
Mm.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
No.
Hang on. Hello! Come in, mate. Who is it? Oh, Georgie. Come in, old friend.
All right, mate. How are you, all right? Something. It was on Buck Road.
Hang on.
What was his name? The one that asked when I got my first tattoo.
And I was with you.
You were with me.
Yeah, and I tried to be clever in the shop, and he told me to fuck off.
What was his name? I can't.
Hang on. As soon as you're trying to think of somebody, and somebody throws the wrong name in,
yeah,
it completely throws you. It.
Yeah.
Wally Broom.
Wally Broom? That's that was a good his name, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Wally Broom. Was in the town tattooing from the war.
Yeah.
When the Davis brothers used to tattoo in Colchester.
Okay.
The one. The Davis brothers. No, the Mitchell brothers.
Right.
From Yarmouth.
Yeah.
When I was up here, they were telling me how they started tattooing in Colchester during the war.
Wow.
And I'll tell you where they were, George. You know the joke shop?
Yes.
That was the shop that they worked from in Eld Lane.
Was it really? In Eld Lane?
Yeah. That was
Because that shop's gone. They used to have all magic stuff, you know, conjuring.
Yeah, I know all of
them. Did they? Well, and that's where you got your first tattoo?
No. I got my first tattoo Butt Road.
Butt Road, yeah, that's
right. I don't know if they still call it Butt Road.
Okay. Of course it is.
And he was a funny character because he used to, like, I had it on my arm. It was only names because I was only 14.
Would you have your name?
My name and mum.
Yeah, of course. Keep your mum, happy. Yeah,
well, God, because I was in for it when I got home.
Yeah, I bet you were.
But he used to, and the few hairs I had now, he spat on my arm and shut them.
Did he? Hygiene?
Spat on my arm. And shaved a few little hairs off that he had to.
Yeah, then away he went.
Right, he went.
Oh, man.
But what would they do now?
40.
If somebody spat on you first before tattooing.
They'd be shut down probably now. Did you have many more done after that?
No, well then, David did some for me.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, Sailor Bill.
Oh, yeah, Sailor Bill Peartree.
Down East Hill.
Oh, yeah, you had a couple by him.
I had one by him.
Yeah, cool.
And then David.
What was that like, getting tattooed by Sailor Bill?
No, it was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did he do on you?
Just a snake type thing.
Cool.
Then David did an anti-cap, didn't you, Dave?
Oh, nice.
That's all we could do.
Well, it's when he sort of like first started.
Oh, was it?
That must be pretty much one of your first tattoos, Dave.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Blimey.
And I had that for years and years, and then David covered it with a sort of samurai on the top of the, because I wanted to lose it.
Mm.
And so he put a samurai type thing over the top, because you had to try and cover it up as best. I can still, with a biro, draw around Andy Cat. Oh, I know where he is.
Yeah, that's it. He was other there people for so long.
I like cover ups.
Yeah, you don't mind doing them, mate.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love cover ups.
Okay.
But it's good because you can still see the original tattoo if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's quite nice, isn't it, I think.
Right, so it's a good little.
Oh, blimey.
Good little thing.
Yeah, Sailor Pill Petri is quite known, wonderful isn't tattoos. It? Yeah.
Yeah, original style. Really, truly original style. Nobody else like him.
Mm.
Yeah? But the strange thing is, nobody liked him.
Really?
Yeah, because I think they're all jealous of him.
Right.
Because he was so good.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He hit it the same as Ian of Redden.
Mm.
When Ian started doing that wonderful realistic stuff, he threw everybody out of the shadow over everybody.
Yeah, because it was so much, it was that next level. It was next level.
Yeah. But Sailor Bill, he actually transcribed everything into original tattoo designs, but Ian's never done that, you see.
Right, okay.
But Sailor Bill, very difficult man to get on with. He banned me from the shop.
Did he?
Yeah, he's
why, because he knew you were tattooing?
Yeah, and just banned me. He said, I don't want you. Well, as his wife, she said, I don't want you in here.
Right.
I said, well, I better go then.
Blimey. What, because he thought you were going to like try and get secrets out of him or something?
Yeah, just because of opposition.
Yeah.
People just didn't like any opposition.
No.
Well, I think opposition is good fun.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good fun.
Yeah, of course it is.
And if someone's going to beat you, they'll beat you.
Yeah. Nothing you can do about it.
If you're doing the best you can do, that's the end of it. Same as painting. You do the best you can.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, Brent told me that Sailor Bill was, like, really good and that it was hard to contend with him because he was reasonably priced and he was very good. So he said, how do you compete with that, with somebody that's, like, cheaper than you and also better than you?
And incredibly productive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he got a lot done on, you know, a lot done on you. Yeah, amazing. Have you had any tattoos done lately then?
No.
Stopped a while ago, eh?
Well, I'm not.
George owned a tattoo man.
No?
I'm not keen on tattoos.
No?
I wish I didn't have any.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, blimey.
Because.
But you've got them.
I think that goes to that, because my mum had a hairdressing
Thank
shop.
You, mate, for that.
Hairdressing salon.
Yeah, salon.
And I got sent up to. There was a hairdressing company called, I think it was Eugene's or Leora, I can't remember exactly, up in Oxford Street. It was either Oxford Street or Ridge. I went up there and just doing a sort of like a course thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I was working away, and the girls, I was the only bloke there.
Yeah.
And all the other girls that were doing this thing.
This course, yeah.
And my sleeves came up a bit.
Yeah.
And the tattoo showed.
Yeah.
And these girls went, oh, look, he's got a tattoo. And I thought, oh, jeez. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Made
you feel a bit bad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, well, I don't want, you know.
You don't want people to see.
I don't want anybody to see my tattoos. Yeah, you got them. Mm. What can you do?
Yeah.
It's something you do when you're young. But then, I do find tattoos are addictive.
Mm.
I think once somebody gets a tattoo, the next few days they look at it.
Yeah.
And I think, and they look at some other part, you know.
Yeah,
think,
the other well, bit.
I think I'll balance this up a bit. I'll have something done on this arm or this shoulder or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I'll balance it up.
Yeah.
And it's an addiction like that, just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what happened to you. But now
I just didn't want them anymore. I'm not a tattoo type guy.
Yeah.
So, I've got...
Do you think if that woman hadn't have said that to you, yeah, though, you
I
might
don't
have
know
got
how
more?
Much effect that had. I think that had quite an effect on me. Because yeah, everybody, suddenly I was, the centre of attention and all these other girls,
Yeah, and there was a stigma and attached to it.
There was a stigma attached then, especially with those sort of people.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it.
No.
Yeah, so...
Oh, that's interesting, that is. Yeah, you forget how sort of aggressive it was then to have a tattoo, wasn't it? To certain people, it was really aggressive, you having a tattoo like that.
Well, that was in the
60s. Yeah.
So, there was a different attitude towards tattoos in the 60s.
Yeah, big time. Who else was around then? So, at the time that you're tattooing in Colchester, Dave, You've got Sailor Bill Pertree was still about.
Yeah.
You've got Harry Potter.
Pass me a glass of George. Well, Harry Potter was a long way away.
Yeah.
Harry Potter was in Tilbury. Well, actually, when I first got a tattoo off him, I was about 15.
Right.
And that was at Gravesend.
Okay,
he was at Gravesend for a long time, by the ferry. Then he moved over to Tilbury. Yeah. And I used to be tattooed by him there, and then he moved up to where he is now, Wickford.
Mm. So you've gone from working on the boats, getting tattooed by Panda, who you got a lot of the equipment off of, and then you've come back here and you're getting tattooed predominantly by Harry Potter, are you?
Yeah.
And he knows that you're tattooing at that time, does he?
Messages. They're inside, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sorry, what was that question again?
you get
Harry didn't bother.
He wasn't bothered about you tattooing.
Well, this is a lot later. I was in my mid-20s, and I was a long way away from him, so I didn't worry him.
Yeah.
And didn't worry me, really.
And there weren't anyone in Colchester when you moved in, either?
No. Romford, what was the tattooers at Romford called?
Vic Shipton.
Vic Shipton. Now, he's a bloke I thought was great, because he was still using the old English inks.
Ah, right.
Yeah, which were useless.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his designs, they were wonderful.
Well,
when he packed up, I don't know where all his designs went, but they were good, because his son started doing it.
Yeah.
But he was heavy into bodybuilding. Yeah, Vic Shipton.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of his stuff. My friend Lee used to worked in Romford for a long time, and they saw a lot of his stuff come through the shop.
Oh, you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're the main names then, aren't they, Dave, around that time? In Essex.
Yeah.
And then what about the London boys? You used to visit, you mentioned Jock to me a few times.
Well, that was when I was young.
Right.
What I used to do, when the barge was up in London Docks, I'd go straight up to King's Cross, That was Cash Cooper and Jock.
Yeah.
They were in this little arcade.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was magical. Magical. All the people you saw, the girls on the game up there, they were great.
Yeah.
And I made myself useful. I was going to get their fags, go and get their sandwiches.
Right.
Yeah. Go and get their tea. So it made you welcome. Yeah, that was good. I always kept contact with Jock.
Did you?
Right till the end. I was at his funeral. And at the funeral, like I say, Ben Gunn, very respectful man. Cotney Paul. You ever heard of Cotney Paul? Well, Cotney Paul, he had a youngster in the family, and this bloke turned up at the shop one day and he said, "You do girls' names?" I said, "Yeah, mate." So he was tattooed, his whole body was tattooed with this girl's name, Elaine.
The same name over and over.
Hundreds of Elaines.
Wow.
He was obsessed with this girl. And I tattooed him. He said he was to do with Cotney Paul.
Yeah.
So, and he was in town for a few weeks. He was a good bloke. And this girl had moved to Colchester. And he'd moved up to try and bloody come make contact with her again. And he ended up, he hung himself. Hung himself on the scaffold just down from the tattoo shop.
Wow. What, because she wouldn't have anything to do with him?
Yeah.
Dear mate.
And years later, when I see Cotney Paul, he thanked me for trying to look after him.
Yeah.
And I said, mate, I said, that is inevitable. He was going to do it.
Yeah.
Because he just had the idea in his head.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine that level of commitment to somebody.
I've never seen it before. Hope I'll never see it again.
No, blimey.
And the girl, she came in the shop after he was dead.
Yeah.
And said, I'm Elaine. And what can you say to her?
Yeah.
You can't say, well, you caused this bloke to kill himself.
Yeah.
He caused himself to kill himself.
Well, exactly, yeah.
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 What was going on inside his head? Good, young looking kid.
Yeah.
Mid-20s.
Just became obsessed with her.
Yeah. Yeah, Elaine.
Where was Cockney Paul, Dave? Where was he tattooing?
Cockney Paul, he was in London.
Mm.
Then he moved up to Chelmsford.
Okay.
He was in Romford.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Mm.
He used to move all over the place because he had a big drink problem.
Right.
Yeah. He spent a lot of time with Cash Cooper when Cash Cooper moved up to Piccadilly in Manchester.
Yeah, right.
Did you ever hear the story of the Black Panther they had up there?
No.
He was up there, there was Cash Cooper and another nutter.
Mm.
And they had this Black Panther and they took it in the pub. He used to take it in the pub on a leave. And one day, this is a true story. Woman came in with a fur coat on and it fucking jumped on her, ripped the fur coat to bits, clawed her, and that was the end of it. Yeah.
I've seen pictures of him with, like, massive eagles on his arm and stuff. He used to have mad pets in there, didn't he?
Who's that?
Cash Cooper.
Oh, yeah, he's a great bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always loved Cash Cooper.
Yeah. You're talking about characters who are in tattooing. That's
I suppose when
character.
I started, I modelled myself on Cash Cooper.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because him and Jock, they used to get on so well together.
Right.
And Jock, in his day, he was a monster of a man.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen pictures of him. He looks massive.
Monster of a man. He was 30-odd stone. And his biggest problem, I was in Charlie Bell's tattoo shop in Chatham.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Charlie Bell?
Yeah, I've heard that name.
And he came down there and he could hardly get through the door. Yeah? Yeah. That was great to see him again.
Yeah. Did you get many tattoos from Jock?
No, never had a tattoo off Jock.
Really? I've seen pictures of his shop in King's Cross, but not the one that he was working with.
What,
with
Cash
Cooper, I don't think.
That was a little booth.
Right.
It was in an amusement arcade.
Oh.
That's what it was such good fun. It was the centre of the world, wasn't it? Piccadilly, centre of the world. You see everybody.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Such an interesting time for tattooing.
Yeah, we love Cash Cooper, didn't we? Great man, he had a moustache tattooed on. Moustache tattooed on, he don't care. Don't care because your life is so short,
you've
got to have as many experiences as possible.
Yeah, definitely.
And the money that was floating about then, a ton of the money.
Yeah. Because there wasn't that many people to get tattooed by, so if you were a tattooist in that area, you pretty much would clear up, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, and charge what you want.
Yeah. At what point did you, decide to do the convention then, though?
Went bust in France. I had a tax bill come through the door, 150,000. Yeah,
and that was cold. Was it called Colchester?
Colchester Tattoo Convention.
Yeah,
I think
nice.
We did three or four.
Did you?
But they were different, if you know what I mean. There was always like we used to have things like the mouse racing.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the mouse racing was good fun.
How did you do that then? What, in little tunnels?
You build a shallow. So it's 8 foot by 6 foot, eight foot by 4 foot, right?
Yeah.
Then there's perspex in the front, little runways with little obstacles.
Yeah.
So you put the six little mice in, and they work their way along.
Like a little maze,
Like a little run.
Yeah, right.
And you had to get to the end. Yeah, and that came from an old bloody chopper club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the boys from the Chopper Club,
they
told us how you build it all, and we built it, and they ran it. And you see, doing them as charity things is a good thing, because it's incredibly how mean some tattooists are and how generous other ones are.
Yeah.
That's very interesting, to see how fucking mean they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the money we made, we should put it to the hospice or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Because to support the hospice.
Mm.
Yeah, I always put. I do a lot of things for the local hospice.
Yeah. Well, that was fun organising it then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun doing the convention.
Yeah, they were really good fun.
Yeah.
But I never saw anything of them.
No.
Because I'd be tattooing all the time.
Oh, you actually worked at it as well?
Yeah. And we used to do piercings, and there was a big old doorman from Clacton. He's dead now. He got murdered.
Mm.
And he got killed on the door.
Oh.
And I was piercing his cock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his big belly.
Yeah.
And one of the girls, she said, he's only got a little cock. And this other girl said, well, nothing grow in the shade. Isn't that wonderful?
That's such a good line, isn't
that
it?
That is. That's worth doing a convention just to hear that one that little story. Remark, isn't it? Yeah, they're gems. They're little gems that come from everywhere.
Were you doing the piercing the same time as the tattoo?
Yeah.
Always?
Always, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it meant moving the whole shop into there. And, there were screens. Mm. If anybody wanted to be behind the screens, other people who didn't give a fuck, you wouldn't use the screens.
Right. And it was a lot of genitals, like a lot of genital piercing and stuff, was it, that you did back
then? Yeah, because somebody's there and they say, yeah, oh, I've had a drink because the bar and everything.
Yeah.
And they'd loosen up. Yeah. And Rhoda was always wandering about, bloody nearly stark naked.
Right, and she was in the piercing
market. Marvellous, you've never heard of Barry and Rhoda.
Mm.
They were the top piercing people in the country.
Right, okay.
And now Rhoda, because she ran a sex thing in Ipswich, and the porno films they made, the porno films weren't very good, but they were terribly amateurish, so they were funny as hell.
Yeah, like almost a bit like Ben Hill sort of comedy. Like, wow.
And do you know Phil Barry?
No.
You don't know Phil Barry?
No.
You don't know Kathy Barry?
No.
Oh, you've moved at a completely different strata.
Who are they?
Phil had a tattoo shop in Bristol.
Yeah.
And he'd come to conventions and Kathy, she was 17 then, and she was a shy, skinny, good-looking little girl. And now she's the top porn star in the UK.
Oh, right.
They've made, made millions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they would come to the convention with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good, but Jesus Christ, man, they were law unto themselves.
That was sort of a time when it was like fetish element was entering that world, wasn't
it? Yeah, but Rhoda was on television all the time.
Was she?
There was a thing called Ibiza Unchained.
Right.
And it was all about the wild nightlife on Ibiza.
Yeah. On the strip.
Yeah, and Rhoda was there with candles in her nipples. And they did another one, Hedonism in the Caribbean. That was, they used to do it on Jamaica or what.
Hmm.
And they used to do the wildest things.
Wow. And it was all going on at the same time where tattooing and piercing was merged.
Starting to explode.
Yeah,
the start of the explosion.
Yeah. That's the 90s then we're talking, Dave, probably, aren't
we? Yeah, yeah. But I could see what was coming.
Good job.
And I said to Sheila, I said, the way to do this now is just to buy a place just outside town with a car park on the periphery of a town where people can get to you with their cars.
Mm.
Parking is so important.
Mm.
And what we do, we have it big. So as you can have three or four tattooers working there.
Yeah.
And you've got to spend a lot of money on the profile of the shop.
Mm.
Yeah. Bumping it right up.
Yeah.
I said, that's the only way you're going to do it, to earn good money.
Right, yeah.
And to keep the thing going.
Yeah.
But she said, no. I said, well, look, let me buy you another piercing place in town.
Mm.
She said, no, it won't work. Because we used to do really well because we were on a main drag.
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen where the shop was.
On the main drag there, and that's why everybody knew you.
Yeah.
Because wherever you'd go, they'd know the name.
Yeah.
Which was good, that's an inroad, isn't it?
That's what you want, isn't it, ideally? You were good at self-promotion, though, weren't you? Like those business cards you were showing me earlier and stuff. They're, like, unique. They stand out. And
they were at the time.
Yeah, it makes you, it makes you remember. If I was in the pub and I saw that business card, it would make me think, oh, I'll check that place out because it's memorable and it sticks in your head.
You've always got to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you boys I used to really like. Do you know The Prodigy?
Yeah.
Right, well, Keith Flint, I've gotten well with Keith. I like Keith.
Oh, right, yeah. He's from Essex, isn't he?
Yeah, Braintree. Mm. And Liam. Well, Keith and I were going to open a pub called the Dog's Bollocks. Yeah. And we talked about this, and it never happened because they were too busy and I was too busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was going to have 20, I only seat 20 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I only did a very, very limited menu of heavy English food.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bangers and mash.
No, well, venison, a lot of venison.
Oh, right, nice.
Yeah, jugged hare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like game stuff.
Like, really strong stuff.
Yeah.
And only open it 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
But you knew you'd make a fortune.
Yeah, definitely.
But you didn't need the money because we got money.
Yeah.
But the fun of it, because I can remember all them restaurants that were going in the, must have been in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they were wonderful places. You'd go there, and I remember spending £1,000 a night in restaurants.
Yeah.
When you've got a group of people and you're having the best of everything.
Yeah,
that's nothing nowadays.
Nah.
Nothing nowadays.
Did you tattoo Keith from the Prodigy?
I'll tell you what I did on Keith.
Yeah.
I did his septum piercing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. No, I did that piercing.
That's iconic, piercing, aren't
I? I did that piercing, and that became probably the most famous piercing in the world, didn't it?
Big time.
Right, and I said to Keith, don't have it done, it looked bloody awful.
Oh, did you?
But they were one jump ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And we used to do the conventions in the States, and we landed there, and in every magazine, there was an article on me at the time.
Oh, really?
And the bloody Prodigy were touring in the States, and they'd done interviews where I'd been mentioned, doing his first tattoo, doing his septum and that.
Yeah.
And so we were packed out. We could have charged anything. We were so stupid not to put a bloody naught behind everything.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because we'd have took it.
Wow.
And we made good money.
Yeah. Where were you working?
But so artificial.
Right.
The year before we were there, and just scraped by. Mm. We weren't any better.
Yeah, just that small difference, hit that window.
But the showmanship had paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, they were massive, weren't they?
What's Prodigy. That? Prodigy?
Yeah.
Well, they used to come in the shop, and one day, Sheila and I were going off somewhere, and we went into a servo. And in the little games place, they have a video running, don't they?
Yeah.
And they had Fast Starter.
Okay, cool.
Well, I said, come here, Sheila. I said, look. She said, what? I said, look, they're them boys from the shop.
Yeah.
And she went all pink, like you've seen your children in the school play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I said, you've coloured up to hell. She said, I didn't know they were famous.
Oh, wow.
I said, well, nor did I. I said, until some girls came in the shop and all nearly swooned because they'd seen them.
It's funny, isn't it? Because if a musician got a piercing, you wouldn't think nothing of it, would you? Like, you just, it wouldn't even notice or register that they'd had a piercing done. But when somebody like that had a piercing done like that, that wasn't very common to see, it's kind of like mind-blowing, wasn't it, for a lot of people? To have that septum piercing, and it was big, was where it was a big ring, wasn't it?
I remember doing it. And I remember what he came over on. He had a far blade.
Mm.
Motorbike.
Oh, did he? Cool.
Yeah, and that was the first one.
Wicked.
And I said, oh, fuck you, Keith, going that. I said, what the fuck do you want that for? Because he got heavy into motorbikes, didn't he?
Right, okay.
And when it came over that he committed suicide, I thought, oh.
Yeah, so sad.
That is so sad.
So sad, mate.
You know the Stray Cats?
Yeah, of course.
Are they still going?
Yeah, I think so, in some form, I reckon. Brian Setz is still around, isn't he? So.
I don't know. They came to the shop. And we were just so busy, just had to turn them away.
Did you?
Yeah, because they were playing locally.
Bloody hell.
And we used to do a lot of work on a Scottish band that were quite famous, and I don't know their name, because there used to be a recording studio down here.
Oh, right.
Really good recording studio.
Mm.
And that's where they used to go.
Mm.
And all their tattoos, they had to have a receipt, and all their tattoos were paid for by their agents and that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I can't remember their bloody name.
Yeah. Well, it was popular at that time, wasn't it? In musicians were... Even now, like, I tattoo loads of musicians now. I think it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Tattooing and musicians a lot of the time.
I don't know, because that's escaped me.
Yeah. Or,
the guys I used to have contact with were... They were all much older, like Limmy and them.
Okay. Lemmy?
Yeah, from Motorhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, you knew, you tattooed
yeah,
him?
Yeah, no, I haven't tattooed him, but I knew them all through Twink.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to go, once Twink was over, when he was drumming with bloody... we were quite a big group, I can't remember the name now.
Yeah.
And we went to Crazy Horse Saloon in Paris.
Cool.
Yeah. And we went over there, and I'll tell you who I met over there, Joe Cocker.
Oh, wow, amazing.
Right, now, what would you thought he was like when he was younger?
Loud? Like,
fucking brash. craziest fucking man you could ever meet. Yeah? And he frightened me, quite honest. Yeah.
Wow.
But what a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Cocker. I'll tell you who we went over to see. Ginger Baker.
Oh, cool, yeah, the drummer.
Yeah.
Amazing. Did you ever have apprentices, though?
Oh, don't do that.
No.
People who come in the shop, they're as good as I am, but they ain't done it yet.
Right.
Yeah? And they just teach themselves.
Mm.
Yeah. That's not like somebody trained to be a bricklayer.
Yeah. Were you sort of self-taught then, I suppose?
No. I learn off everybody I meet. I've learned off you.
Yeah.
Yeah? No, you learn off everybody you meet.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got something to give.
Yeah. But tattooing, actually, technically, how to tattoo.
I'm a very, very poor technician.
Yeah.
I'm about the only person who works with a long needle.
Right.
Yeah, and I just work by the pressure.
Right, okay.
Which is totally wrong.
Yeah. It's done you good this long, isn't it?
Well, but that's not the way to do it.
Right.
Whereas Lee, Lee Simmons.
Yeah.
He's the best Japanese bodysuit man in the world, I think, now.
Mm.
His Japanese bodysuits are, that's just what he's good at.
Yeah,
and he's been good at that for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's been out of Japan, he's been tattooed by the great masters and that.
Mm.
And now, he was up here last week, and he's saying, I wish I hadn't got my hands and my neck done.
Mm.
I said, well, I told you not to.
Yeah, you haven't got yours done, have you?
No, I don't like tattoos that show.
Right.
You know, it's like the tattooed thug. If you want to be a tattooed thug, it's up to you.
Mm.
But you can't switch it off.
Yeah.
And if I go somewhere and the staff are showing tattoos, I'll never go there again.
Mm.
Never. You know, in Barclays Bank, they now let you have tattooed arms and wear a T-shirt. Well, I think that's wrong.
Mm.
I don't think that's respectful.
Right. Yeah, you still prefer the sort of cut-off at the collar look.
But I've tattooed probably more hands than anybody else.
Have you?
Yeah.
Even back then, you used to do them early days.
In the early days, it was... Look, I've got tattoos on my hands.
Yeah.
I've got two girls' names.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sailor Bill put them on.
Yeah.
And he said, they'll be gone in a few weeks.
And they're still there.
That was 60 years ago.
That's they're a still long there. Few weeks.
Yeah. And I've always said to people, look, I regret these.
Do you, even those ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's certain places where tattoos ain't wanted.
Mm. Yeah, and definitely.
You've got
like
respect.
I was saying, that incident that happened to me up in that shop in Oxford Street.
Yeah.
And that just made me think, you know, probably you got to be able to have, if you want to have your sleeves up in that situation, of course, nowadays, no one would take the slightest notice. In fact, if you haven't got them, they'd probably think you're not trendy enough.
You
know what I mean? So, but back then...
Yeah, you were an outlaw if you had them, weren't you?
Yeah.
How's retirement, Dave?
What do you call retirement?
Yeah. Well, I suppose...
Have you got any idea how busy I am? Have you really got any idea?
You've got loads of jobs on.
This is a lovely, quiet afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose you're retired in that you've given up the shop, but you're not retired from tattooing.
I'm retired from the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah? I retired from tattooing.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I'll still mess about on boats.
Yeah.
I still get boat people come to see me.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about traditional sailing boats.
Yeah.
So suddenly you've got to change, put a different hat on.
Yeah.
And then if you're dealing with people who are outside the law,
yeah,
that's a very different thing.
Yeah.
So I'm probably more active now than when I was in the shop.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
My dad says that he's busier now than he was when he was working.
And this lockdown,
yeah,
yeah, has given me a chance to paint,
mm,
to write.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very important.
Cool. Yeah, you're still painting a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, just starting to...
Mm.
Yeah, so you've got a hell of a lot of things on the go.
I suppose it's just retirement's an interesting phrase, really, isn't it? Because...
Well, look at boxers that retire. Most of them, they'll... Years ago,
yeah,
they used to get a pub, didn't they?
Yeah.
And you go to old matey's pub, he used to be British Empire champion.
Yeah.
What a great thing. British, yeah, Empire champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boxing, my family were boxers.
Right.
Yeah, and I was useless.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've still got old fight posters with my granddad standing outside his, like, calf, yeah, in London.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the fight posters in the window.
Cool.
They look so good, and I got a wonderful one.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, when he ran a boxing club in Bermondsey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's where my people are from in London.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shaking hands with Edward the Seventh. You know, the one who abdicated.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was very interested in all the boxing clubs.
Oh wow.
And he's shaking hands with me outside the club.
Cool.
What a good photograph that is.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, that's it. I think when you do something like that for so long, you don't ever really retire, do you? You might close the shop and stuff, but that, I mean, you stop, does it, or ever stop thinking
about
it?
People are closing their shops all over because they've realised they can have a studio at home through social media.
Yeah.
They can get exactly the same.
Yeah.
People going to them.
Yeah.
There's a tattoo that's called Wally Poulton. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, I have heard of him.
Now, Wally has always worked from home.
Mm. He's in Chelmsford, isn't he?
He had a little booth in Chelmsford.
Oh, cool.
That a lorry ran over and squashed. Yeah. Now, you see, I've only met Wally once.
Yeah.
At a tattoo convention. He came up, introduced himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I've known him, and you hear so much about people. Yeah. But he's a wonderful tattooist.
Cool. But he's always worked from home pretty much, yeah, apart from his little thing that the lorry flattened.
Yeah, that is great, isn't it?
It's when, like, you meet him, good job he weren't in there. Bless him.
No, his work is very good. Mm. And he does a lot of the travellers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no.
Do you think you'd ever do another convention, though,
no,
if the offer came up?
Because I hate it.
Would you? What, just different times? Just you just...
No, I hate it. I don't like crowds of people.
Oh, okay.
I don't function well in a crowd of people.
Mm.
Yeah, I function well... in an intimate situation.
Yeah.
That's like being a painter. I've got tons of studio, no space.
Mm-hmm.
Tons,
yeah,
of. I don't know what we're going to do with that barn yet.
Yeah.
But I'm a sort of kitchen table painter.
Mm.
I'm more comfortable painting on the kitchen table, yeah, and have to move all my stuff when it's a meal. Yeah. That's
a bit more, yeah.
That's my situation. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. But you see, doing exhibitions of your paintings, they're just the same as a tattoo convention.
Yeah.
You're doing exactly the same thing. It's showmanship, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, so, yeah.
And to sell, people have got to think, yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
And I remember buying it here, because you're paying over the odds at a show.
Yeah, you're right, I guess.
Yeah, and to set up a good gallery costs you a lot of money.
Yeah, to have a good booth, doesn't it? Or to have a good gallery, art gallery.
A good gallery exhibition is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
Because you've got a totally different class of people buying paintings.
Mm.
Yeah, a totally different class, and they want it to be different.
Yeah.
And so the way you're going to behave there is totally different than the way you behave at a tattoo convention.
Yeah, that's
the conversation
true.
Will be different.
Do you think that's why it helps that you haven't got them on your hands and your neck and stuff? Because it allows you to function better in those sort of situations.
Oh, yeah.